Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is Stadium to Boardroom. Listen in as top athletes tell their stories on how they developed into successful entrepreneurs and business leaders. They reveal their own aha moment of transformation from the stadium to the boardroom.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Greene.
And I'm Len Greene, and I'm the founder of the Greene Group, CPAs and Consultants.
And welcome to Stadium to Boardroom. Len, tell them what the show is.
Well, it's one of the best shows around because it will lead you to see that what happens in sports leads to success in business. And we try to then interview people who satisfy and have been successful in athletics and try to go under the covers to find out what made them successful there, whether they can become then successful in business with it.
And our special guest today is John Naber. How are you, John?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
And John, back in 1976, won 4 gold medals in the Olympics. And you've also had great success in business. So let's just start. The main question is, are there similarities in success in sports and business, or are they a different skill set?
Allow me to go to 20,000 feet and say the real purpose of sport is to prepare athletes for life after sport. And that what that means is that not only the athletes who win medals at the Olympics, but anybody who tried out for a swim team has the opportunity to benefit from the lessons learned. You don't have to be a Super Bowl champion to benefit from the sport lessons you learned in high school, college, even in recreation. So the reason we should get our kids involved in sport is not to put them on the cover of the Wheaties box, but to teach them the work ethic, the team building, the respect for authority, the ability to follow rules, all of those life lessons which anybody can learn.
John, when you were doing this, the ultimate, which was either 5 or 7 medals, as you were swimming, in each of those, one after the other, you had to be in a zone or something to be able to keep on pushing yourself further than anybody else had been pushed. Can that kind of experience then translate to success in business?
Oh, I do think that if you have to step up to the line in a moment of truth, the bottom of the ninth inning, 2 outs, 20 seconds on the clock and 40 yards to go, and you are able to be successful at that level, you know something about yourself that gives you confidence in any other stressful environment. So trying to make a big sale, responding to a departed customer, and any kind of pressure environment, if you've been there and succeeded before, you carry that optimism with you.
Well, John, you're speaking about success and optimism, but what about failure and challenges?
Every athlete I've met will tell you the only time they've learned anything was when they failed or fell a little bit short of their goal. And at that point, the coach says, okay, John, you didn't win, but what did you learn? And you can go back and apply that information. You don't learn by coasting across the finish line meters ahead of the competition. You haven't learned anything. But by failing, you say, okay, how can I change this minus into a plus? And that's where you get the learning.
And if I can throw one more in, John, we had Rick Barry on earlier, and he said confidence is the number one reason why he's successful. He wanted that ball at the end of the game in the last play. But when the question to you is, hey, there's a record, okay, and it's almost a barrier to entry, which is the same as you find in business. There are barriers to entry. What drives you to break that and set a record?
I wanted to be an Olympian long before I learned how to swim. My family took a vacation to Olympia, Greece, and the tour guide explained that the purpose of the Olympics was not to honor the athletes, it was to honor the gods with athletic performance. And sportsmanship and fair play was so important that they literally created a hall of shame. If you got caught cheating, they carved a statue in your honor and made your hometown pay for it. It was one of those things where I said to my mom, wow, a program designed to honor character and excellence and sportsmanship. I want to be an Olympian someday. And she looked at me and said, really, what sport? I didn't know. I didn't start swimming for another 3 years.
Wow.
So, you know, what you talk about is the finish line, going at the Olympics, you're going for a world record. But at that point in time, I wanted to be a part of a movement. When I started swimming and started improving relatively quickly, I set my sights on the next level. So I wanted to be the best swimmer in the pool. Then I wanted to be the best swimmer in the city. When I got that, I wanted to be the best swimmer in the state. You elevate your aim at the next reachable target. I think Zig Ziglar called it peak to peak focus. And when you're the best in the country, there's only one other target to look at, and that's the best in the world or the best that there's ever been. And in my case, it was an East German swimmer by the name of Roland Mathis, who had won the gold medals in Mexico City in 1968, won both backstrokes again in 1972 in Munich. And I said, how fast is that guy going to go in Montreal? And I anticipated his time. Looking at his winning times, I extrapolate 4 years into the future, and I wrote down the number 55.5 seconds. I thought that's how fast he was going to be. And I figure if I get there and he's faster, that's not my fault. I've done pretty much what I set out to do. Well, my winning time and gold medal result on the scoreboard was 55.49 seconds.
Holy shoot.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you hit the target you aim at. And I was very proud to say that that's what I was shooting for. I wasn't trying to beat Roland. I was trying to beat the time that I thought Roland could do. And therefore, it wasn't a personal thing. And he came over and congratulated me. And he sat in my house in 2016 watching the Olympics in Rio. And we enjoyed each other, mutual respect. But it wasn't a personal thing. You're not trying to hurt somebody. You're trying to outperform them. The word competition in Latin breaks into com, meaning together, petition, meaning to seek. A competition is where we together seek to discover who's the best at something. And without my opponent, I'll never find out. My opponent is a partner in this journey of discovery, not an enemy.
And you take that same philosophy into business then?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially
what's an example?
I thought about this interview all week long, and the main difference between sport and business from my point of view. In sport, for me to win, somebody's got to lose. But in business, for me to win, my customer has to win. It has to be a win-win proposition, a value add to everybody. And so in that respect, if I look at my opponent as a customer, together we're going to seek to discover something. And, yeah, we discovered that I was the best. And, Len, you may not know this, but in addition to 4 gold medals, I got a silver medal in that same Olympics. And that was the race where I learned the most, and that was the race of which I'm most proud. I didn't have to win. I just had to learn and perform better than any expectations. And for that reason, a silver is really pretty good.
It's very, very good. John, one other thing. I've had the privilege of interviewing, you know, 1,000 or more successful entrepreneurs. And I keep on asking them, you know, what is success? And more of them are saying it's not necessarily the financial, although that helps. It's giving back something. Okay. Is that what got you into some of the nonprofit stuff that you're doing, which is great?
Instead of saying giving back, I say creating value.
Okay.
Creating value is giving back to the world at large. Now, you have a really good customer, and the product you supply to them enables them to build a better widget and to grow their market share. you are taking away value from their competition, but you are building value in your customer's business. And overall, their customer will benefit for having a better product at a lower price. You know, that's why innovation is always important, to find a new, not just new, not just different, but better, a better way to do something. That's what innovation really is all about.
And we are about to take a commercial break now. And when we come back, we're speaking with John Naber, and we're learning a lot of things, such as the best way to learn is from failure. Number two, set a goal and stay with that. Number three is competition is really working with other people and towards them. But when we come back, John is going to share something that he had told us earlier about the similarity between war and sports. And you got that. So tune back in. Stay right on that radio. Back in a few.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
Hi, this is Robert Greece and Len Green, and we're on Stadium to Boardroom, the only show that features the superstars in sports and how they translated that into business. So we're with John Neighbor, and John, you have, I know you're a great public speaker and everything, so you obviously have a lot of books that you've written, but you told me something earlier that was really fascinating about a similarity between business and war. Explain that.
It was a similarity between sport and war. In 2004, the Olympics were heading for Athens, Greece. Xerox, the corporation, was a major sponsor of the Olympics, and they wanted to distinguish themselves from all the other Olympic sponsors. So they tried to corner the market on the term, "We are the most innovative of the Olympic sponsors." And they wanted to write a book. They wanted to create a list of innovations in sport and make parallels to their innovations in the plain paper copier business. And they asked a lot of Olympians, name some innovations in your sport. Well, I'm a big Olympic trivia fan. And so I gave them 12 different innovations from 10 different sports. And the guy came back and he said, "John, maybe you ought to write the book." And that's what happened. I know a lot of different Olympics. In my broadcasting career, I've done 30 different Olympic sports, not during the Olympics, but in between games. And I've interviewed a wide variety of Olympians, including a Dick Fosbury or a Nadia Comaneci or a Carl Lewis or a Mary Lou Retton. And in the course of those interviews, I learned a bunch of stuff, which I put into the book. And in doing the research for the foreword, it turns out that the two most innovative industries in the world are the world of sport and the world of warfare. That new guns, new bombs, new tanks, new everything is always being innovative, always being created to solve a problem. And in the world of sport, you've got the Fosbury flop or the clap skate or the Bodine bobsled. And it dawned on me that the reason these two industries are so innovative is because the cost of coming in second is too much to bear. If you've got a 45% market share, you're number two in the industry, you still make a pretty good piece of change. But if you come in second in war, not so good. And there's nobody, you know, the bronze medalist at the Olympics is happy he got a medal. The gold medalist is delighted because he won. But the silver medalist, he's the one on the award stand who's kind of grumpy because, oh, I was so close. Almost had it. So that's why sport and military are so innovative.
We've interviewed a lot of athletes who then become spokesmen for various things that they know something about or don't know something about, but just trade on their name. But there's two companies that you've worked for which could almost find a number of different people to be their spokesman or be involved with them. And I mean, Walt Disney is number one, Speedo is number two. What made you decide that you wanted to be with those companies? I know why they would want you, but why would you want to be with those companies?
Len, I hate to be to correct you. I was never a spokesperson for Disney. I was an employee of Disney.
How about a marketing representative? How's
no,
that?
No, that's true. But I should let you know, Disney had that wonderful campaign. You've just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next? I'm going to Disneyland.
Yes, yes.
Well, they didn't do that for me. I was never a spokesperson. In fact, when I became an employee of Disney, I worked at Disneyland. And in the 70s, you weren't allowed a mustache. I had to shave my mustache to work for Disney.
That's right. Yeah.
But I did work for Speedo. Shortly in the 70s, if you got paid for doing a swimming clinic, you would be deemed ineligible to compete in swimming. It was a completely amateur sport in that era. So I never got paid. You, Len and Robert have collectively made more money as a swimmer than I did. I did a short-term commercial for Minute Maid Orange Juice. I don't think I got to choose. You get to choose among those who ask you. You know, the bride gets to choose among the men who invite her to join them in matrimony. So I was approached by some really good companies. I really made most of my income as a motivational speaker to a variety of companies, a variety of industries. And in that sense, I'll speak to just about anybody. I'm not that choosy.
And talking about speaking with people, you've not just spoken, but you've hugged. And you've been very involved in the Special Olympics. Share that story.
Well, in the 1970s, Eunice Kennedy Shriver and the International Special Olympic Games were growing in popularity, thanks in large part here in California to Rafer Johnson, the wonderful decathlon champion, who became the head of the California Special Olympics. But the International Games occur every 4 years, and I believe it was 1989. They were in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I was invited by Eunice Kennedy Shriver to be one of those celebrities that gets to go to be a hugger at the finish line or signing autographs or presenting awards. And because there's a lot of people in attendance, you need a credential around your neck to allow you access to the field of play. And at the track stadium, I wore my credential. It said John Neighbor Olympic Backstroker. And it gave me the right to stand at the finish line and greet the kids as they came across. I saw a group of paparazzi with flash cubes popping in the distance. Eunice Kennedy Shriver came over. I said, "What's going on?" She said, "Oh, that's just Miss America." I said, "Really?" She says, "Have you met Miss America?" I said, "No, I haven't. Would you like to?" I said, "Yes, I would." So she walks me over and the paparazzi spread apart, and Miss America with the diamond tiara and the satin sash moves through the crowd, and Eunice Kennedy Shriver says, "Miss America, this is John Neighbor. John Neighbor, this is Miss America." She shakes my hand and she reads my credential and she says, "Oh, you're a backstroker. They've asked me to be a hugger." Let me tell you, I was never so glad I didn't swim the breaststroke.
Cut that out of the show, okay? Okay, how about one final one from me? Okay, and again, this is sincere. This is not trying to puff up, okay? There are so many amateur, okay, athletics, and there's so many athletes, okay, who do certain things in different sports. So you would think that there would be more toward football and basketball and yet you won, okay, the Sullivan Award. Okay. Did you have any idea that you were even up for that kind of award?
The Sullivan Award in the 70s is the nation's most outstanding amateur athlete, named after James E. Sullivan, the founder of the AAU. And amateur meant a lot in those days. The word really is, since in 1982, the word amateur has been taken out of the International Olympic Committee charter. They no longer care about that. Right. But in the 70s, it was a big deal. Professional athletes get plenty of attention, plenty of rewards, plenty of notoriety. But the amateur athletes in that era really didn't get a lot of attention at all. So to me, it was the Heisman Award of amateur sport. Yep. And I would have thought I would have won it in 1976, but I didn't. And in 1977, I only had 4 months before my retirement. I swam for 4 months in 1977 as a senior at the University of Southern California. And I improved on my American records, and we won for a fourth consecutive national title. And I was given the award in 1978 for what I had done in 1977. I think, to be honest with you, I think that's a bit of a, okay, we remember what you did at the Olympics. Well, we'll go ahead and count that in the decision. So I was delighted to receive that award, and it's on display at the USC Athletic Trophy Case in Los Angeles.
Amen.
John, what a fabulous guest you've been. Great having you on Stadium to Boardroom.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Ann Collier. How are you, Ann?
I'm doing well today. How are you, Robert?
Great. And Ann is the CEO of Arudia. This is one of the leading boutique executive coaching companies. So tell us about what Arudia is. And also, in 2004, when it was founded, what the name means, because that I wasn't clear of.
Sure. Well, as you know, I started my professional life as a tax lawyer, which is not as much fun as everybody thinks it might be. But like any good lawyer, I happen to know a fair amount of Latin. So I chose two Latin words, important Latin words, for to teach and to support, and then combine them and feminize them for obvious reasons. And that's where Erudia comes from.
And your basic business is coaching. So let's talk about something. Right now, we're in this pandemic, and a lot of people are talking about coming back to work. And there's a whole challenge that a lot of CEOs are facing on the mental health and well-being of their culture and their people, their associates. What advice do you have to them?
First of all, I'm heartened by the fact that CEOs in fields that normally don't pay attention to mental health and well-being are now focused there. The advice that I have is to engage in a real collaborative process, because part of what the pandemic has done is it's made us feel like we don't have any control over our lives. And that causes panic. It causes actually some of the unproductive behaviors that we've seen. And so rather than mandating, you know, two days a week in the office, 3 days a week, 5 days a week in the office, we're coming back in January, we're coming back in March, is actually to take the time to engage in a thoughtful, deliberate process, not just surveys, but focus groups. It'll depend on how big your organization is, but make sure that the employees feel that they have a say in it and that they own the process, so that they're willing to come back and they feel good about coming back and they feel good about the organization.
You mentioned the different size. Let's take two examples. Let's say one is a company with 50,000 associates. Another is a company with just 1,000 associates. So on the different sizes, how does the CEO engage and how do they involve their people so they can cascade all of the coaching and mental health goodwill throughout the entire enterprise?
Yeah, excellent question. So I actually am working with the CEO of a 1,000-person organization right now. They are coming in the office some of the time because they're in healthcare. And so he is actually visiting some of the locations. He certainly won't see everybody, but he's making his presence known. So even with 1,000 people, which is a lot of people to have over to your house, for example, you can still engage and feel much more personally connected. So he's wanting to listen to and get advice and guidance from his employees about what's important to them, which will then feed into a survey for everybody to complete so that we can then look at what's important, what are the protocols that they want, what do they feel that they need to feel comfortable.
How do you reconcile between the customization for one individual and the mass culture where you want everyone to not have stress and to feel more comfortable?
Yeah, that's, again, such a good question. And it's something that CEOs, leaders, and managers are all having to deal with. It works best when you develop some general principles based on what your people want, and then deal with the outliers, the special cases on a case-by-case basis. So maybe somebody has specific health conditions and they don't feel comfortable coming back to the office yet. As you go through the process, you get more information, and then you develop, you know, sort of a set of protocols that, for example, apply to that group of people.
Now, we've noticed, I think the stat was that 1 out of 4 people in America, it might be 1 out of 5, has some type of mental health, call it challenge if you want. What can people do, CEOs, to understand that now in a very trying time with significant change, what they could do to do their original outreach and make people feel comfortable?
So both in a small organization and a large organization, it's talking to your people. And not talking to everybody, but especially in a very large organization, it's really tapping into your managers, tasking HR with doing some outreach, having some personal conversations as well, understanding it, getting you know, consulting with experts in the mental health field is very important so that you understand what the manifestations are. The National Council of Mental Well-Being has trauma-informed care. You can actually get yourself really educated so that you can recognize when somebody's having a real challenge, you know, an episode, and handle it better.
What are the fundamentals that people need to know? And I know there are people in the organization who are steeped deeply in this, but CEOs usually aren't. What is sort of the primer for a CEO to understand about the different types of people in their organization?
Sure. So the way that we work at Arudia is this principle of self-awareness, you know, understanding yourself. You can use any number of assessment tools. All of the assessment tools have some value. I use the Curtin Adaption Innovation Inventory to and the Actualized Leader Profile. The KAI describes cognitive diversity, so different ways of problem solving. So it really goes to the heart of how we work and how we work differently. And then the Actualized Leader Profile is incredibly powerful because it describes our and assesses our motive drivers along with, and it's an emotional intelligence resilience-based assessment. So during these times, during these last 18 months, most of our work has been using the Actualized Leader Profile because it gives people a window into how they're responding to stress and then some control over it. So even though I'm not a mental health professional, I am very committed to well-being through coaching. When I work with a CEO on with the Actualized Leader Profile and with the KAI, and we also use Myers-Briggs type, they understand the differences, and then they actually get that some of the behaviors that they were thinking were counterproductive, not part of the team, you know, they suspend their judgment so that they've got some understanding. After we develop that greater sense of understanding, then it's about skill building. You know, how do you use coaching skills? You yourself as a leader and a manager, as well as how to have these win-win conversations, adjust your language to use really neutral language so that you can have conversations about potentially loaded issues, but very productively and always focused on solving the problem.
You mentioned something interesting, Anne, which is problem solving. And you and I have spoken about this in the past. What are, in a simple sense, the different types of problem solvers? And how can a CEO be aware of how her team is solving problems?
Sure, sure. So this is where the Curtin Adaption Innovation Inventory comes in. This is the assessment tool that we use with all our Learning Collaborative Management Academies because it gives managers, leaders a sense of on a continuum of more structured problem solver to less structured problem solver.
So you're saying the key is how structured someone is in solving a problem, even if they don't do the assessment.
Yeah, yeah, and you can actually judge it. So I can just talk to somebody and just by working through a problem, having a discussion, listening to the kind of questions they ask, I can say, oh, this person is a lot more structured than I am. Let me make sure that I'm giving this person enough detail, that we're talking about process so that the person has security that I'm being conscientious in our joint effort to resolve this issue.
So let's get advice. What does a CEO do when they have to approach someone, disgruntled employees, they have problems? What advice do you have to those CEOs of major enterprises?
Just some risk management advice from my employment lawyer friends. When people understand different problem-solving styles, reactions to stress, they are less likely to take things personally. So that's the first thing, is developing a culture where, again, differences are understood, so transforming from annoyance to appreciation to celebration, sort of like, hey, you know, I want to talk to Robert because he thinks differently than I do. So there's that piece of it. The other thing is for the CEO to get real clarity about understanding the differences and the value, so that the CEO can personally model the appreciation, because it all comes from the top. The CEO and the leadership team set the tone for the culture in an organization. If it's a culture of appreciation and celebration of differences, and hey, let's fail fast, don't be afraid to make mistakes, this is hard right now, then that's the kind of culture where you get fabulous solutions, different solutions, innovative solutions.
We're about to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about helping people problem solve, which is critical right now when everyone's trying to reinvent their industry. Back in a few.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Ann Collier, who is the CEO of Arudia. And we're talking about problem solving, and you've really split it up into two categories, people who are highly structured in their problem solving or not structured. So now that CEOs are all trying to reinvent their industry, problem solving is at the center. If you're in a meeting and you're the CEO, how do you know, what are the telltale signs that someone is structured or not structured, and what can those lead to?
Sure. So as someone who is an unstructured problem solver, and what that looks like is ideas from all over the place, right? Like lots of ideas, excitement about brainstorming, a lot of, you know, throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. So a lot of ideas and being very free with sharing those ideas. When you're more structured, meaning that you want to solve the problem within the current structure. You're not as free with your ideas because you're sorting through them, sorting through everything like, does this work? Does this not work? So you have fewer ideas, but those ideas are ready to implement. They're sound. There tend to be bumps with the more what we call innovative ideas, the more outside the box, the ideas that come from changing the structure that's in place as compared with the more structured or more adaptive.
And so that really is one of the key areas. First, CEOs need to start looking at what they need to do. So if I was to ask you what CEOs should do, you're going to say hire Rudy, but that's not the answer we want. The answer is start understanding how structured and unstructured people are on the continuum, correct?
That's correct. And I also would say, you know, your goal is to optimize everybody's contribution because you need all the problems that CEOs are solving are complex problems. I don't have to tell you that. Complex problems mean that part of the solution comes from that more innovative, unstructured way of thinking, and part of the solution comes from that more structured way of thinking. And so the key is to solve that problem, you know, you want to validate everybody's contribution, encourage it, and make sure that people are appreciating what each other contributes. That's part of the challenge that where we come in is helping people to understand the different problem solving styles so that they can optimize the way that they're resolving problems. And a big part of that is understanding. That's why an assessment tool like the KAI is so great. And as I said, the truth is any assessment tool that gives you a lens or insight into how people think differently and an appreciation for that and celebration of that, that it's a positive rather than an aggravation, is really adds to the team and adds to the culture of the team and the organization.
Talk about the concept of success, what it really means, and significance.
Sure. It's such a great place to be in your life, too, right? So success is about you've achieved your goals, you've gotten to the top of your organization, you've created your own organization. And significance is really about contributing to the world, to the betterment of the world in the way that you want to, in a way that really feeds your soul.
Feeds your soul. How do you know how to feed your soul?
Believe it or not, even the lawyers I work with can feed their soul. You know, they love facilitating transactions, or the employment lawyers or HR professionals, they're helping make the culture better. They resolve issues for people, solve problems. But in terms of significance, I mean, we really talk about making our mark on society. I think about one of the CEOs that I work with who started out at a pretty small organization and came to me because she wasn't feeling confident. She didn't feel like she could walk into a meeting with her peers and that she was respected, or that she could share her ideas. And just a few weeks ago, actually, she's led her organization through a merger. She's doing incredibly well, bigger organization now. And I just looked at her and I said, well, you wanted to have more confidence. And she just laughed because she knew she had achieved that. But she is making a mark in her industry. She is providing and making sure that her people are providing services to those who need it, in a space that's really important. And that's in healthcare, mental health, and well-being.
It's a great story. And I have a sense in interviewing CEOs, it's akin to the Renaissance. When in the Renaissance, there were all of the great thinkers, and they shaped the new society. Right now, CEOs, for the first time, are shaping a new society because they're becoming, with ESG, they're becoming more involved in the global ecosystem. And coincidentally, there's a pandemic back there, much bigger, the bubonic plague, and a pandemic now. What's your take on how CEOs are moving forward in shaping the greater world?
Such a great question. CEOs have the opportunity to shape the world by shaping personal experiences. So we talked about people coming back into the workplace. And what kind of workplace is that going to be? What kind of culture is the CEO creating? Because remember, it all comes from the top. So the CEO, the leadership team, are they just focused on the bottom line? Are they involving? Are they creating like a collaborative leadership? I mean, there are all these questions about what kind of culture, what are their norms for working together? Is this a place people want to work? In that way, they shape the greater world. It's really done individually, but at scale.
It's so true what you said about soul. I remember speaking recently with Deepak Chopra, and he was telling me that that's the essence where everyone tries to get to, is understanding their unique soul.
One thing actually I'd like to share with you is in coaching at Arudia, we work across all sorts of fields. We work with lawyers, we work in healthcare, associations, corporations, nonprofits, you know, the gamut. Being Washington, D.C. based gives us a lot of opportunity, but we really work nationally and even internationally at times. I see trends. What I've seen is that people are spending more time focused on culture. They're also worried about recruiting and retention globally. So for a CEO to have a team, and I'm not talking just about the leadership team, but the entire team, they've got to make their workplace appealing. And that requires some real work. I mean, the pandemic is really the springboard for creating a new culture, creating a new tomorrow, and creating a better world.
Big question everyone wants to know. If they want to get in touch with you, what is your website?
My website is arudia.com, A-R-U-D-I-A.com.
And on that note, Anne, I want to tell you what a pleasure it is having you on the CEO show.
Thank you, Robert. It's always wonderful spending time with you.
And I do want to say, everyone, just think about, you have annoyance to appreciation to celebration, and that's where your brain should go as a CEO. Arudia.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.